Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 31 of Otherworld London. We have some players. Let's start with Michelle.
Hello, I'm Michelle Otis, and I will be playing Eugenia Penbottom of the Lancashire Penbottoms.
Hey guys, I'm Mac Beauvais, and I'm playing Ethel Prendergast, who is being currently hounded by spirits, and not the fun alcoholic kind.
Hi everybody, my name is Terry Gamble. I play Alizé Carew. I'm a shopkeeper, fiancé, dealing with the mother-in-law, and evil things. Good times. And tea.
Hi, I'm Maria Iyengar, playing Dr. Lisette Powell, who's had a very big day.
That sounds like a start of the Dr. Seuss book right there. Yep. Very bad. All right, so the last time we got together, a lot of stuff went down. Ethel got pulled into Scotland Yard, which was no fun. And Dr. Vogg actually got her out of Scotland Yard. Then we had a horrible episode with the poor Dr. Graves, who committed suicide after seeing something that the rest of the group did not see. Something happened in that time that drove him completely mad. Eugenia spent the day trying to disown her son. They basically went to the bank and told them to stop this huge amount. I think it was 50,000 pounds being taken from one bank to another by Robert Jr., and that was undone. And then at the end of the last episode, Dr. Powell went home to find Martin, her wonderful partner, typing on a typewriter that seems to be from the future, 20 years from now, from another continent, from a city, New York, which she's only read about in the Penny Dreadfuls. That's where we ended last time. We're going to go to Dr. Powell, who wakes up to this clacking sound of typing, and you're exhausted, even sleeping a full night. You realize it's probably like 9 or 10, which is way after the time you usually wake up.
Oh my God. So bohemian. I think she like does the rollover of like, ah, cool, 10 more. Oh no. And just sort of bolts out of bed, like unceremoniously tumbles out. And the moment she hears the typing, swears loudly and then apologizes for swearing to no one and then runs in to go see what Martin's doing.
He's typing on the typewriter. He has chewed through the bandage, the gauze. You do the math in your head very quickly. You figure that the sedative probably ran off about maybe 3 hours ago. Mm-hmm. And he's back at it, and his fingers look even worse, and the gauze is just full of blood. And he looks very pale, like he's lost too much blood at this point.
Crap. What happens? She's going to walk over and pull away the typewriter from like the other side of the table to see how he reacts.
He continues to type, just air types for a moment.
Oh, okay.
And then moves his whole body very stiffly. His face is contorted, of course, again, and he walks across and tries to sit down in front of the typewriter. He doesn't seem to be in any way able to talk with you. He just goes and starts to try to type again.
If I pick up the typewriter and just keep it like a foot away from him, will he follow me?
Yes, much like a dog looking for a treat. Yes.
Yep. Oh, God. This is a nightmare. Well, the things we do for love. Come with me, Martin. Shit. And I'm just going to see how far, like how can I get him to Eugenia's? Or yeah. No, the hospital. I'll just get him straight to the hospital.
Yeah, you can get him to the hospital. He'll follow you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. I just bring this up because you were at the hospital yesterday. There's a lot of people working on staff with masks on right now.
Oh, crap. Oh, so that was true across the entire hospital and not just like the weird nurses?
Yeah. No, that's the problem with London right now is literally almost a third of the populace has started to wear these masks.
Oh, okay. Then I would like to walk that back. And she's going to
drug him again, and then pull out ropes that exist in a drawer in the bedroom for a different nature, but are there, and she will use them, and they don't hurt to tie him down with, and she's gonna tie him to the bed. And then start an IV of just like water and saline.
Fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, just a carrot with a needle in it, just stuck into his arm.
So, okay, yeah, you tie him down. You get an IV going. He is drugged pretty well. Here's the big question. Are you going to leave the typewriter there?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
She wasn't, yeah, no, she's going to pack it up again like her original intent was, and she's going to take that and her medical bag and get across town again.
Okay, cool. We'll get back to you in a moment. Eugenia, we're going to go actually back in time about an hour, around 9 o'clock. Your household has woken up. Alizé stayed the night, and so did Ethel. You guys are in the drawing room having some tea. You guys talk a little bit more, and around 10:30, Dr. Powell shows up and is quickly let in, and you guys are all in the drawing room together.
Good morning, ladies.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. What have you got there?
Oh, just a cursed typewriter, probably.
A cursed typewriter.
Yeah.
All right.
How is it cursed?
Can I get a cup of tea and just a minute?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Thank
Mrs.
you.
Mrs. Fitch.
I'll get tea up to you in just a second. 1 second.
Thank you.
And like as this is all happening, she's gonna like reopen up the typewriter and like put it out along with like a ton of the bloody rags and like just basically like recreates the scene that she walked in to sans Martin.
All right, so Mrs. Fitch comes up and going through what she explains, I would imagine because Dr. Vogg's name's not only in the writing, you, Ethel, realize that she's talking about the Dr. Vogg that's been showing up around you lately.
Dr. Vogg?
Yes, does that ring a bell?
I assumed it was...
That's the same gentleman who came by my home for a tarot reading and who subsequently magicked me out of the police station.
Oh.
Interesting.
Well, and I'll give them sort of a down low on my experiences with Vogue so far.
So she tells you everything that's happened up to this point. Did you bring the writings with you as well?
Yes.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. What I meant was I put everything out, like the typewriter and the writings, and then she keeps like the rags around to show just how much like gore was around the scene. So yeah, all the papers are there too.
Can I put on my fancy glasses and take a look at the writing?
Yeah. And you start looking at the writing and the letters change into readable text. They're no longer like weird sentences and stuff. And it says, "Hello, Ethel. Thank you very much for figuring out the glasses. I wanted to help you out. You had said that if I could help you, that would be what you would like. So I talked with my master and we came up with this to see what your group would do in certain situations. So we gave the typewriter to your friend's mate, and it has detailed instructions for banishing entities, but it's very complex, so you're going to have to make some research rolls on it. But one thing that it says that is not complex but is highly difficult to get is you need a dagger from a ancient druidic tomb.
Okay.
Or something like that, that you can then cast a spell on and plunge into Sir Nunos's chest. That's part of the banishment.
Okie dokie. I imagine like what was on the paper, I'm kind of murmuring to myself as I read it, you know, and then I look up at them and I start relaying what it said exactly. And it does seem that there's some sort of banishment spell here.
He keeps talking about research. He pretty much states he's seen how you and the rest of your friends react to certain stimuli. So putting you in a situation and studying how you react, almost like...
lab rats?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm also regretful to note that I do believe we are the subjects of some sort of experimentation.
What?
Experimentation from whatever Dr. Vogg and his master seem to be.
Okay. You are not in league, but you have access to him, yes? Why don't you bring him here so we can talk face to face about...
It sounds like you want to incite violence, Dr. Powell.
Oh, not incite. Be entirely responsible for it. Yes, just me. You can join in if you want.
I'd rather not. I'd rather...
I have an amazing new bone saw. I would love to see how it would do.
I'm sure, but we are going to need additional strength and power to defeat Sununos. It sounds like he may have some information to help us make that happen. I'd rather we use him like a slingshot, so to speak. Yes? Like a tool.
I respect that, but I'd also rather he not use my poor poet of a partner as a guinea pig to pass messages.
Maybe he's trying to get a message to you, and this is just his way of getting the message through to you.
Oh, a message has been received.
Regretfully, I do not know how to go about summoning him. He seems to show up of his own accord.
Shall we say his name 3 times in a mirror?
I was going to make a joke about not being superstitious, but honestly...
I think we should set about collecting what we need for this banishment spell.
I would tend to agree, and the next time he shows up, hopefully we can have some sort of, let's call it a conversation. And she's going to give a knowing look at Dr. Powell, almost like a, yeah, fuck this guy kind of look.
Cool. She gives you like a slow nod back with like that slow blink of, I am calm for now, but Lisette will remember this.
This calm will not last forever. Ethel, make me a library use roll.
Oh, damn it. I got a 58. I have a 50.
Okay.
Whoa. Mine's pretty good. Am I able to make one?
If you wear the glasses.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You want to join me in Crazy Town?
Sure.
So if I see you trying to sort of struggle at reading everything, I'm going to take the glasses off and sort of like rub my face. And Eugenia, if you would like to try with the glasses, but I don't advise you wear them for very long.
All right, I'll try them on. Are they magical?
As so much as I can assess. If they're scientific, it's not anything I understand.
Very well. And I put the glasses on, and I blew my roll. 90.
No!
You want to know what my library use is? It's 78.
Holy shit.
Hey!
No!
Whoops.
Give me my glasses back.
I wasn't ready for those glasses.
I'm shaming my dice right now.
Hold them up to the camera. Bad boys. Naughty.
So you guys spend a good amount of time trying to figure this spell out, and it just isn't working for you. At some point, you decide to take a little bit of a break, and you're looking at this list of things that you need to kind of get. And like I said, one of them's an ancient dagger. So you have a couple of different decisions on which way you want to go. You can continue to try to study this, and you're getting it. It's just, it's not like you're not understanding it at all. It's just taking you a really long time. So there's that. You also have the fact that there's Mabel walking around, and you still don't understand why that's happening. And then Eugenia still has to deal with Robert Jr. So there's a couple of different ways we could go. What fire do you want to work on right now is the question.
It seems the most pressing fire is going to be going after whatever this banishment spell requires.
Okay.
But that's just my opinion.
No, I agree. I think we need to gather this stuff as soon as possible because this is probably the heart of everything. If we banish Sir Nunos, then maybe...
Hopefully everything else stops, yeah?
We banish your son. Ooh. And then we banish all of our enemies.
I like it.
So you're reading through this list. You need the dagger. You need a goat's heart. You need several different herbs. And what's funny is the herbs will actually probably be the easiest thing to get because now there's huge amounts of trees and, you know, weird magical groves.
I don't want haunted herbs. I want safe herbs.
Well, you can get those outside of town pretty easily. And you need to take him to an ancient sacred site. You need to, like, lure him to an ancient sacred site. So it could be Stonehenge. It could be any. There's actually lots of hinges throughout.
Ancient sacred sites? There aren't very many of those in England.
Nah, not really. There's probably some.
Like maybe one or two.
Nah.
In fact,
every damn corner.
But that's the point. That's the point. It's like it doesn't have to be. It's not like it must be Stonehenge.
It's like you find some random garden and you're like, wow, it looks like people lived here from the Middle Age. And you're like, oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm in this weird garden. All of a sudden, you're like,
some Roman artifacts. Yeah.
How do you know it's sacred? Well, do you see all the elves and fairy people? Yes. There you go. Ancient secret site. But the point I'm making is that, it's not like you have to lure him out to like Stonehenge or anything. It's not like that.
Sure.
So the herbs make up a potion that you guys will have to each drink in order to steel yourself for what will happen during the ritual. And then the goat's heart is the sacrifice. You have to kill the goat during the ritual because Celtics didn't fuck around. And then, of course, finish the spell by plunging the dagger into Sir Nuno's heart. Easy. Simple.
Yeah, easy. Simple.
Simple. Everyone, it's going to be fun.
Witchcraft made easy.
Yay. So now you guys have all that information. Speak amongst yourselves on how you want to proceed.
Well, the herbs should be easy enough. And the goat we can get at a local market. It's the dagger.
Right.
Alize.
Yes.
Would you have any connections through your shop?
Yes, I'm sure we could procure something. I know quite a few places we've had to deal with importing items of magical use. There was one such kind of dodgy fellow that could work, that we used to get items for curious and curiosities. Yes. Yes. He's not my favorite, but I think he might have precisely what we need. His name is Jim.
Just Jim?
Anyone with only one name must be suspect.
I do believe that that is the course of action we should take, and perhaps we can start about having the herbs collected, and I'm not really sure where else to go.
I think once we visit my friend Jim, well, I won't call him friend, I hate having any type of connection, honestly, but once we visit him, I think there is a place not too far from Benny's family estate that might be good for luring, I hate to say his name, the antler man.
Yes.
So it might be a good place to lure him. There's also an ancient ruin and space that he, I know for a fact he quite likes.
Okay.
I might have been there before with him, is what I'm saying, Lisette. Dr. Powell, sorry.
You can absolutely call me Lisette at this point. I have follow-up questions, but that's probably because I'm sleep-deprived. Normally, propriety would own the best of my soul.
You would have follow-up questions no matter what. I still do, and I lived it. So...
Respect!
I think we could visit him, and there'll be herbs on the estate as well.
Okay. First, you're going to visit with Jim. Are you guys going to stay together as a group, or are you going to split up at all?
Let's stay together as a group.
I don't see any reason for splitting up at this point.
Wow, that's a first.
Each of us is going to do a different thing, only for making it difficult for GM. Mine will involve new NPCs.
I've done it before. Where does Jim work from? Is Jim in, like, the East End? Or is he the docks?
He's in a dodgy part of town, not too far from the docks, correct. Sometimes things fall off a ship, you know?
Oh.
See, maybe near the squeaky flute?
Yes, not too far. He is not too far from the squeaky flute, ladies.
Squeaky flute?
Ethel, you may want to wear something that... It's not as obvious.
And you are suggesting I change wardrobe because I am too obvious. But I don't have a wealth of options that aren't black.
Bless your heart. I mean...
Eugenia, could you maybe...
We can look, but I don't know if I have anything in her size. She's much taller than I. But we shall see.
Oh, no. Are we having a shopping episode?
I know. I was about to say, are we going to do shopping?
We could have a shopping montage.
Whole episode.
This is 20 minutes of rolling to see if you find the right frock.
I have to find
my bustle. I would live for that. Yeah.
I keep stuff in my bustle. I've decided. There's just a bird. There's a bird cage back there.
The Bustling Bird. It's my new shop.
Ethel does not look at all pleased about being drug out on a shopping adventure.
Okay. So your husband's been dead for quite a while. I mean, you've been wearing black for like 5, 6
years. Yeah, she finds it keeps people away.
Oh, okay.
She's okay with that.
I see. Well,
she's in perpetual mourning. He was the love of her life.
Yes. That's understandable. So you guys go out shopping.
At that era, there would have been wig shops as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most
of them. I can imagine, going by a wig shop and
it's insane asylum a wig. Like in Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
How long would you spend shopping?
Too long, probably.
Probably like an hour or two?
Probably two.
Yeah.
Minimum 2 hours.
Eugenia, when... You guys are looking at all these different really colorful dresses and, you know, there's plum, there's muted magenta, there's slightly brighter pink, there's cream, there's blue, there's all these different colors that they've got. And you, Eugenia, glance out the window at one of these shops and across the street, you see Mabel staring into the shop at you. There's no one around her. People are passing her by, and she's just staring. It's not a menacing stare, but it's more of a possessed stare. Like, she doesn't seem herself. And she raises her hand slowly and just gives you this awkward wave and then puts her hand down.
Okay, I give her an awkward wave back.
Okay.
And while I'm standing there, I go, Alize, because of course Mabel can't hear me. She's across the street and we're in a shop.
Right.
Alize, my dear.
Oh, yes, Eugenia.
And without taking my eyes off of Mabel, can you come here for a moment, please?
One moment. No, I think the blue is better for your eyes. But I guess if we're not trying to draw attention to your eyes, maybe you should go with it. One moment, I'll be right.
Ethel rolls her eyes.
Fine. Yes, Eugenia.
Would the madam like a hat as well, or?
Yes, please bring all the hats.
Of course she would. She's not uncultured.
Oh, of course. I'll start getting the hats. We have a new one from France. It has an actual bird in it.
Ooh, she would also need a bag to coordinate with the hat. Please bring bags as well. All accessories to go.
I know yes, my job. I'll do it.
I will manage the sashes. Go.
I say to Alizé, look across the street.
Do I see her too, Wes?
Yep, absolutely. And when she sees you, she raises her hand and gives this awkward wave and then...
How? Oh, no.
Then she starts to cross the street without looking, and like horse buggies are going by her, and she's just kind of walking through.
Do you think she's an apparition for other people, or is she live flesh and blood for us now?
I think she's quite corporeal, but I don't know if she's quite herself.
She's never waved to us or been kind. I'm very confused.
Yes, and I'm very concerned.
Here are the hats that we have, ma'am. We have several different types, and here's the one from France I was talking about. And over
we
here...
We don't want any that's going to be too ostentatious. Something smaller.
Please put the bird hat on the side.
Okay.
Over there.
I'll put it over here. I'll be right back with the less...
Something maybe with just feathers and no actual bird.
Oh, okay. I'll get the less ostentatious hats. One moment. Skitters away.
Okay, is she coming across the street to us?
Yeah, she's walking straight towards the thing. And she, you know, if she was a ghost, like, the carts would have went through her, but she seems to just be... uncanny in missing being hit by the traffic that she's walking through. I don't know if you've seen any of the old time films from like the turn of the century that show just the glut of people going back and forth over the streets with horses and stuff, but it is not for the faint of heart, but she makes it across.
Oh my.
And she kind of motions for you to come to outside to her.
Shall we go?
Are you sure that's wise? She, I think, is going to keep finding a way.
I would like to know what is going on with her precisely.
Well, if she's coming in here, then why don't we let her just come in here?
Have you chosen what you are going to wear?
This. And she just picks whatever she happens to be in at the time.
Oh, goldenrod, what a choice.
What did you say?
Goldenrod.
Goldenrod's very, very in right now. Mm-hmm. And we have a wonderful pair of shoes to go along with it.
Excellent.
And I think Ethel takes a moment and like looks down at what she's wearing. She's just like, it has this like, I've made a mistake face. And she points over to one that... she'd already tried on before that was like a lilac shade.
Are you sure you were a vision in mustard?
I could wrap both of them up for you.
Just the one will do, thank you.
Oh, okay. Four women and one commission. All right, and he walks away.
Oh, I bought the hat. I bought the bird hat. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I know you did, yeah.
That's dope as hell.
Okay, so you get the French bird hat.
Yep. Are you sure? We should just get the goldenrod one. We can save it for later. And no one would ever suspect it was you in this. Ever.
Ever.
It is quite lovely with those black buttons down the front.
And right? Didn't I remember you coming in earlier, madam, and shopping?
I will take what? Both of the dresses if you will just please package them up.
Of course, of course.
Oh, you should put one on now, and then the other...
Oh, I will wear the one that I'm wearing
so you're
going to
wear the goldenrod one now and the lilac one later?
Sure.
Excellent. Okay. And, madam, you wanted the French hat with the bird.
Yes.
Okay, I'll get that wrapped up.
And thank
he
you.
Goes off and gets that all taken
and I,
care.
I give him, you know, where to send the other dress and everything like that. Because, of course, we're not going to carry it with us.
Oh,
of course not.
No. Of course not. I imagine we went to the wig shop first, or did we, have we not done that yet?
Yes, you did go to the wig shop first.
So I figure I probably have my hair tucked away into a wig, especially I wanted to check before we interacted with Mabel.
What kind of wig do you have? What kind of wig did you pick?
I would have gone the complete opposite of her dark locks and would have picked out a blonde wig, probably.
Yes, curly blonde wig.
With goldenrod dress.
Oh, my goodness. You look like a spring dream.
You look like sunshine. I would have never guessed.
It probably does make it look like she's got less of the pallor to her skin than normal, but her face is still very dour. It's like trying to dress up Morticia in bright colors.
Well, when you get out of the sun, the goldenrod reflects the sunlight into your face. And so you have this like weird pallor going on. It's like,
it looks like you have jaundice, but honestly, it's an improvement.
At least it's some color.
That's rude.
Jaundice looks alive, my dear.
So shall we to it then?
Right. Shall we go?
Death stare.
So you guys walk outside after he rings everything up and puts, you know, he'll have the delivery person take the stuff over. And Mabel's standing there. And she goes, I'm sorry. We had that odd encounter the other day where you said you knew me. And I wish I could say the same, as in, I don't quite remember who I am.
Are you feeling well, dear?
I take it that we were not on good terms.
May I feel your hand?
Yes, she hands you her hand.
I want to feel her hand. I want to feel if it's cold or not.
It's not cold, but there's something wrong. It's, you know how if we, obviously you feel a hand, you feel muscle and kind of bone and everything else. This feels squishy. Kind of.
When I squish it, I'm going to squish it just and squeeze it a little bit just to see what happens because I'm like, why does it feel squishy?
Her fingers expand a little bit when you push, like unnaturally, like when you're doing a normal like hand thing, they don't. Mm-hmm. These look like they kind of fill up a little bit like balloons.
Right.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I've been out of sorts.
Well, darling, I don't think you're human.
Of course I'm human. Why wouldn't I be human?
Well, you must understand. The Mabel we knew no longer exists.
She's quite dead, dear. You seem like an apparition.
But I'm here. You can see me. You touched my hand.
You're a wholly new creation with her face. And that is all.
That can't be. There must be another explanation. Are you sure I'm the Mabel you're thinking of? Maybe there's a different one.
Well, you certainly look like her. You certainly look exactly like her.
Would say you're a dead ringer.
I have a weird question. I don't know if there's anything I can do about it. Ethel is so used to being around actual spirits and what they feel like, and I'm wondering if it feels like she's got a spirit left.
In her?
Yes. Is there a way for me to ascertain that?
Let's do an occult roll.
Okay. All right, dice, don't fail me. Be good, dice boys. Yeah, I got a 48 under my 70.
Nice.
Ooh. Awesome. No. She seems oddly hollow to you.
My dear, I do believe you are animated by something. unnatural, as these ladies have pointed out. And the Mabel that you were is as dead as a doornail. And trust me, that was in the best interest of everyone involved.
Agreed.
I don't know what to say. I'm sorry for taking up your time.
Yes, now I want to know where her source is. Because maybe if we find the source, we could help her be set free again.
Let me ask you this. What is the first thing you remember?
I woke up on a cold cobblestone street in downtown, somewhere near the docks, and there was a young woman above me, and she looked quite angry, and then I fell into a darkness, a pit. I thought maybe I was dying, and then I woke up again next to my husband, and I felt strange. I didn't question it because I thought I had a bad nightmare, but then after I talked with you all, I realized that I don't really remember anything before waking up on that cobblestone road. I don't even remember the woman that was above me. And now you tell me this. I'm not quite sure what to do.
Nor are we. Doctor.
Yes.
Would you mind giving her some sort of examination?
Is that all right with you, ma'am?
Well, yes, but we are on a public street. I don't know if this would be the best locale for a physical.
Well, I'm happy to come and call on you later. At a time and place more convenient to you.
And she's just sort of giving a, like, weird look to the rest of the group, like, oh, this is...
That would be fine. I take it since you know me, that you know where I live, ladies.
Yes. Yes. Quite yes. Well.
You can come call on me when you have a moment. I would appreciate any help you could give me.
Are we sure we want to go to her home, ladies? Is this a trap?
Oh, do you say that loud enough for her to hear you?
I'm trying not to. I want to...
Okay, I just... Yeah.
Ethel kind of shrugs back at you a little bit when you say that and kind of motions like, we'll talk about it in a second, like as soon as Mabel's like super out of earshot.
Mabel goes, I'm sorry, I'm gonna go home now. I'll hopefully see you later. And I can only gather from the way that you have responded that I wasn't the best person to you. And I would like to say that I am sorry. If I'm not that person anymore, I am sorry for their actions. Anyway.
No need to apologize. It's not you. We do appreciate it, though. Strangely comforting in the midst of all of this. Do get some rest and take care of yourself, though.
Yes.
Thank you. She walks off. This is actually a really good place for us to stop this episode, so... Cool. Thank you guys so much. Let's find out what everyone's doing. We will start with Abria this time.
Hi, I'm Abria Iyengar. You can catch me on social media at Quiddy, Quiddie. I stream all over the place, so come check me out. On Tuesdays, I'm over at Saving Throw Show with the amazing Terry Gamble, running Pirates of Salt Bay, a super fun D&D 5th edition adventure that I am GMing. On Wednesdays, you can catch me over at the Scabby Rooster playing Endymion's Gate, which is in the Hillfolk system. It's a really cool sci-fi show. YouTube has all of the like episodes also, but it's on Good Time Society. Fridays is obviously here. I don't know why I said that. I have a list that I'm just reading down, and that was embarrassing. Please cut that out. On Saturdays, on Saturdays, I'm with the amazing Michelle. We both are in a Return to the Spider-Verse mask game over on It's Probably Okay's Twitch channel. And normally on Mondays, I'm on Kolok 1991 over at Hyper RPG. We're currently on episode hiatus, but we're still releasing cool content. So keep an eye out on the hashtag and see what extra story elements we're releasing during the hiatus.
Hey guys, I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me all over the internets as at Strange Like That. I'm doing a lot of remote tarot readings for people, so you can definitely hit me up about that if you want to get your cards read. You can also find me every Monday over at Happy Jacks. I am either playing our Things from the Flood campaign, which is a lot of fun, or the brand new campaign, The Great American Witch, which is a game system that was created by Christopher Gray that we are putting through its paces. So I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you tune in.
Hi guys, I'm Terry Gamble. Nice to see you. Wait, I can't see you, but I'm here and you can find me on the internet and see me at the Terry Gamble, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or at terrygamble.com. Also weekly on Mondays at Horror Movie Survival Guide. New episodes come out every week. And I talk about scary movies with my friend Julia Marchesi. It's super fun. And Wes helps produce over there. So check us all out. Abria already said on Tuesdays, you can find me at the Pirates of Salt Bay on Saving Throw Show. I'll be popping in on a couple of advice shows over at Happy Jacks RPG on some Friday nights, talking about games and things. Yeah, guesting on some other stuff throughout the next couple of months. So check it out and just follow me on the internet. Twitter is probably the best way to know what show I'm going to be on that day.
Hi, I'm Michelle Otis, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also watch me on Return to the Spider-Verse on It's Probably Okay's channel, like Abria said, 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings, and just like a cartoon, kind of cool. All right. You can also get my music through Plate Mail Games at Drive-Thru RPG.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find all of our sound effects from the show on Plate Mail Games. You can also find us on DriveThruRPG and Battle Bards. For the podcast, you can do one of three things to help us out. Give us a shout out on social media, give us a review, or come over to Patreon at 12 Sided Stories and join us there. We actually have a exclusive Delta Green game that's going to be starting up this month. We're probably going to be putting out like 1 to 2 episodes a month for Patreon backers only as a, you know, thank you for helping with the support of the show. So check that out. Finally, as Terry mentioned, I help produce a show called Horror Movie Survival Guide. It's every Monday, and we have a lot of fun. I get to hear opinions on some great stuff that I have not gotten to see yet, or stuff that I have, and it's just cool to listen to them talk back and forth because they're such good friends, and it kind of comes through the show very well. It's very cool to listen to. So that is it. You can also find us at the number 12 and then Sided Stories on Twitter and on Instagram. So thank you very much for listening, and we will talk at you very soon. Bye.